We're going to move into a time of prayer. I'd like to draw your attention to the two prayer quilts that we have today. If you'll take a moment after the service to stop at the table, tie a knot, sign their cards, we will wrap these two individuals in our love and the presence of that quilt representing that love, and in God's love and healing presence as well. Will you join me in prayer? God of us all, we have gathered this morning in a time that is starting to build, a time of great anticipation, a time that we need to prepare ourselves for the greatest gift that has ever been given. And so we ask, Lord, that you might help us find a quiet time, that you might help us to still our hearts, to put aside the busyness that seems to overwhelm us, to open our ears to the sound of your still, quiet voice, that as we prepare ourselves for the celebration of Christmas, that we might indeed find ourselves in a place where our hearts are filled with love, where we gather with those that believe as we do, that love as we do, and that we might share that love with those outside of that circle, Lord. Help us to draw the circle bigger. Help us to share the joy that we have found with the world that is in need of it. There are places in this world, Lord, that do not know your name. And we ask that you would help us bring your light into that darkness, that where fear and war and terror exist, that your peace might flow like a mighty river, that injustice might be turned to justice, that division might become unity, that your spirit and your will might be on the hearts of leaders throughout the world, and that all might be drawn to your Son and his example of how we love God and love each other. Help us, Lord, to remember that it is only through you and the gift of your Son that we find peace in this life and hope for the life to come. In many ways, Lord, we wrap ourselves up in the busyness of the season. We get stressed. We find ourselves running sometimes what seems like only circles. And so we ask now, Lord, that you would calm our spirits, hear those concerns that are on our hearts, and help us to listen to your voice. Hear us now, Lord, as we come to you in a moment of silence. Gracious God, we all too often take for granted the blessings that you pour out into our lives. Help us this Advent season to commit, as Jesus' disciples committed, to follow him closely, to hear his words and act as he acted, and to pray as he taught us to pray. Together we say the words, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture lesson is from the first chapter of Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Dave. Let's pray. Lord, let your Holy Spirit be on the reading of your word and on our hearts as we consider its meaning for us today, that by your grace we might grow ever closer to you, and in this time of Advent, welcome Christ into our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the Christmas season is upon us, whether we like it or not. In the consumer world, we know that that's already happening. The stores and the restaurants are decorated. The Christmas music is being piped in. Even the websites that we shop have been decorated for Christmas. For some of you, anyone started their Christmas decorating at home? How about Christmas shopping? Oh, yeah? Okay. I have to say, for George and I, my husband, last night, we sat down and looked at our calendars for December and had to plan out when we would do some shopping and when we would do some decorating and when we would take some time, actually, for the two of us. It was so packed with activities that we needed to do that. And perhaps you're doing that with your family now, comparing calendars to figure out when family parties will be and what time and how you'll move from one place to the other. It's sometimes very difficult to think about Christmas and celebrating Christmas in the midst of celebrating Christmas, if you know what I mean. It's just too much activity going on. And I think that part of it is that we don't really see Advent as preparation. The word Advent means to the arrival or the appearance of. And so in the tradition of the church, the centuries-old tradition of the church, what we're doing during the season of Advent is actually preparing our hearts and our minds. It's very countercultural today because Advent season, if people even know what the word is, that the word is part of Christmas, Advent season in preparation is making sure that you have all your shopping done, making sure that the baking is done, making sure that the parties are all lined up, and that becomes the time of preparation. So by the time you get to Christmas, Christmas Day is actually just taking a breath. Right? That's so we have this idea that Advent is all of this rush and preparation that comes at us from our culture, but in the Christian tradition, we understand that Advent is actually taking more time than usual to open our hearts to Jesus Christ. Now, for some of us, we may mourn that is very difficult to do in our active lives. We have this picture of what Christmas is supposed to be like, and I really believe that is informed by all of those Christmas card images of the Nativity. You know, You know, it is this time of great peace in the dark of the night, and yet the night is still light. Stars are shining. It seems to be cold, but it's not really cold. There's like this erythral glow that emanates from the child and Mary, and there are no extension cords, and you have no idea how that is happening. And there is this great peace. Everyone is attentive and adoring, including the animals. Check out the sheep. And there's just this great peace. And we sing songs like Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm, All is Bright. We sing about a heavenly peace, and we wonder why in our Advent we can't have that. And by the time we get to Christmas, we feel a little bit disappointed that we have not had that calm time. It might be better for us to think and sing from the second verse, Silent Night, Holy Night, shepherds quake at the sight. That isn't very calm. Angels singing in the sky, glory streaming from heaven afar. What a surprise. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. The heavenly host, the word host in the Bible, the direct translation is armies. Okay, so imagine the shepherds are out there in the field, and there is a great loud noise and glaring lights, and they are in absolute fear. That's why the angel says to them when they appear, the first thing the angel says is, "Fear not." It might bring us some comfort to really think about what that holy night was, because it is possible for us to pause and observe Advent and Christmas if we do. What it is an inbreaking of God into everyday normal lives. All of the work that we do, all of the chores that we have, all of the preparation we do, God breaks into that activity, not waiting for us to slow down so that we can have the Christmas spirit. God's spirit is powerfully present even as we move. And so what we're going to do this Advent season is we're going to take a moment of pauses during the Sundays in Advent, and we're going to talk about how we might, in the everyday activity of our lives, not disrespecting it, not putting it away, not saying don't do it, but how can we pause? We're using a book called Pauses of Advent. It is it's a little tiny devotional book that gives you a word of wonder a day, a scripture reading, and a couple pages to read. We have some extras, but quite honestly, if you can start tomorrow, and if you don't want to pick up the book and you've got an e-reader or you want it on your phone, just download it. Go ahead right now. If you want to check your email, just tell everyone around you you're downloading this. But you can get it's Pauses for Advent by Trevor Hudson. So that's what we're doing together as a church, and some of us are doing it in groups. We're reading this as a time to pause. If we think about the peace of the Nativity and that sweet picture we have of the baby, it's not exactly the reality. Last Friday, I returned from a trip to the Holy Land, and just days before that, I happened to be at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. And I want to talk to you about what an experience it is to go to the birthplace of Jesus today. Now, the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem has been around since the 4th century in some shape or another. It is the traditional place where Jesus was born and where the manger was that Mary laid the baby in. I say traditional spot because how do we really know? Back then, no one was exactly recording and putting an X on the spot when this child was born in humble circumstances. But we are in Bethlehem, and we are at a church where people have come for centuries. So to get to this church, the first thing we had to do is go through an Israeli checkpoint because the city of Bethlehem is in Palestinian territory, and it is walled. Okay, so we go into the city, and we get down the street from the church at a bus garage that has been built for the crowds. We get out of the bus, and we start walking up to the Church of the Nativity. Now, to get into the church, we come to this little tiny door. It's a huge church. There are different sanctuaries, one owned by the Greek Orthodox, one by the Armenian, one by the Catholics, because none of them get along. But there's a large, large door that has been bricked in been, because a couple hundred years ago, when the Turks were taking over Palestine, they were riding their horses into the Church of the Nativity. So they bricked it off. This is actually Dr. Vern Hochul kind of climbing in. So you go through this really low door, and you get into the church. Now, you expect, because we're going into the Greek Orthodox section, that you would see just this grand vista in this centuries-old church, but this is what we saw. Because the church is under renovation, and so there are people up on the scaffoldings kind of working on redoing the frescoes and the murals and the mosaics that are along the wall, and so the whole place is covered in scaffolding and in sheeting. People, I don't know why people would visit the Holy Land with a Sharpie marker, but wherever there is a room to reach, people have written things all over these white tarps that are around. And what we're doing is we were herded into lines. Now, we left the hotel at 7 in the morning because the guide told us if we don't get there early, we'll have to wait in line a long time. We waited in line an hour. He said a long time is 3 hours. Now, what were we waiting for? We were waiting to go under the front altar into a little grotto underneath, which is the traditional spot where Jesus was born. This, believe it or not, is facing that front altar. I'm facing the other way. Our guide is standing up on a chair or something yelling at us, you know, like, get over here in this line. So we get in this big line, and we just start slowly moving. Now, for those of you who are a little bit claustrophobic, just get ready. I'm warning you. Okay. So there are places where we see devotion and quiet meditation going on, but no, that's not for the crowds. We're in barriers. So we can kind of look out at the people that are lighting the candles and pray, but no, that's not for us. Instead, we are in this line that is being funneled into where Jesus was born. Now, I got to explain. Okay, so what happens is we get to this staircase, and this, if you look, you can see like there are people going down the staircase single file. But on the outside, there is no crowd control. And there is a marble staircase that goes, it's a half circle all the way around. There is no zoning code, so you don't know if you're stepping down 9 inches or 5 inches. It's kind of crazy. And as soon as people got close to the doorway down into this grotto under the front altar, there was a bit of holy shoving. I mean, I could have lifted up my feet, and I had George at my elbow, and I said, we're going to claim these steps. And so we started going down. Someone said it was like a holy funnel, just kind of funneling us in. So finally, we're single file, and we're going down these uneven, worn steps. I mean, they have been worn by thousands and thousands of Christians who have taken this journey before us, and we come into this room. Now, the room is probably the same square foot as this chancel area up here, but a little squarer, and I want you to picture being down in a carved-out cave under the altar. Now, the ceiling is low, and from the ceiling are hanging candles and incense that's smoking. On one side of the room is the traditional place where Jesus was born. On the other side of the room is the traditional place where the baby was laid in the manger. And so the place is like packed with people. Packed, and they're moving one way and they're moving another, and the candles and the smell and the heat, oh. It was, and more people are coming down all the time. And so some people are backed against the wall praying out loud, and some are silent. It was crazy. Now, with a little bit of body blocking, and I did that graciously, I was able to get a picture of the traditional site where Jesus was born. I gave up on the other place. There's a star that's made of brass that goes around it, and it's a 14-point star symbolizing the generations that you'll find listed in the genealogies at the beginning of Luke and the beginning of Matthew. And then in the center, about the size of a hand, maybe, right in here, maybe more this size, there's a piece of marble, dark, and people kneel down to touch that spot. And they stay there, of course, until this very large bouncer-like Greek Orthodox priest says, get up, go, 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 because you're trying to, you know, get so many people through. And so I had to, as I was being pushed down the human funnel, I had to think to myself, how am I going to spend the moment, the few seconds I have in this place? So I got my head ready, and I went down, and I said, as I knelt there and reached and touched that piece of stone, I gave thanks for the thousands and thousands of people who had gone before me marking this place, because it made it holy, whether Jesus was born there or not. And I take a moment to give thanks for the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ. And in the midst of the disorder and the heat and the smells and the noises and the shoving and the urging, I took a moment to find God. This is Advent. And this is our special activity. We have friends and neighbors and family who will not be connected to the church until perhaps Christmas Eve, when someone says, this is what we always do. But for us, we have been called to this time to find holy moments. To think about why you're here. Now, some of you may say for practical reasons or because someone drugged me here or whatever it is, but truly, I believe that the Holy Spirit has put us here in this moment to recognize that there is something more to this holiday than all of the preparation that our culture pushes us toward. There is a time for us to pause and to give thanks. Now, what we're going to do during these four Sundays of Advent and even into Christmas, we're going to pull some words of wonder from the book Pauses in Advent and talk about how we might do these things and walk closer to God in the midst of Advent to pause. And so the word for today is awake. And I believe that we can find some examples of how we might be more awake to God's Spirit in the pauses of Advent by looking to the story of Mary. Now, the story that Dave read this morning from Luke 1 is called the Annunciation of Mary, when the angel Gabriel comes and welcomes and lets Mary know that she will be with child. It is an amazing story. It is a story of miracles. It is a story where Mary is forced to pause in whatever the activities are of her life and to find that she has a new reality in the presence of God. And so I believe that in the midst of this, we can find some ways to pause as well. And so I offer you a few of them. One of them is that we can take a moment. We can pause to be grateful. I love that in the scripture there are a couple of times where Gabriel, when he's introducing himself and talking to Mary about what's going to happen, he says twice that she is favored. She has been chosen despite her own admission that she is lowly and poor. Despite the fact that she comes from a village that wasn't even on the map or talked about in contemporary sources of Jesus' time. Despite all of that, she has been chosen to bear God's Son. And she is the favored one. And you may say, well, yeah, that's great. You know, she's the favored one. She can be grateful. But quite honestly, God comes, as we understand from Scripture, God comes in the form of Jesus Christ to save the world, to save each of us, to bring us into strong relationship with God and to make a difference in our lives now and for all eternity. And we can say, honestly, we are the favored ones as well. And we can offer gratitude for that amazing gift that God gives. What can we be grateful for? I have to tell you that on the way into worship this morning, I come about 7 o'clock, and I woke up with a headache, you know, so I'm already in a pretty bad mood. And I'm driving, and I live out near Mount Brighton, so I'm driving and I'm passing that light on Brighton Road that's by the high school, around the high school light, you know where that is? And I had this overwhelming feeling of gratitude for you. It was... none of us, well, okay, maybe me, but most of us do not have to be here this morning, right? And think about all the things that you could do. But you choose to be here giving thanks to God, worshiping, connecting with community. And I just want to tell you that today, I am so, so grateful. I saw this picture and it made me smile. And I'll tell you why, because at Christmas time, at Christmas time, there are some things that I just love. I love the house with the lights dimmed and the tree lights on. I love snow falling softly, right? Okay, when I'm inside, don't have to drive in it. I love wrapping my hands around a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and the way that feels. I love a good book or a good Christmas story. And all of those small things are things that I can pause and be thankful for. My hope is that there are things in your life that you can say in this Advent season, I just love doing this thing, whether it's with family or by yourself, that you just love it and you look forward to it. And we have the opportunity to simply give thanks for those things and to live in gratitude. If we can be in gratitude for God favoring us, we are on our way to finding those places of pause in Advent. Another thing that we can do is be expectant. That we can expect that amazing things are going to happen. Now, we know that Mary was not expectant. She was surprised. She asked, how can this be that I can bear a child? I'm a virgin. But God, through Gabriel, said this: with God, all things are possible. And Mary experienced the literal inbreaking of God, breaking into the world in a powerful way. Why could we not expect that God will break into the world in powerful ways in our lives? Not because we set up the circumstances for it, but because God wants to do that. Wants to bring us into surprising relationships, wants to call us and bring us up short by the beauty of this world, by the simple pleasures, and by the calling into amazing things. Mary was not expectant, but what she found was that she was called to a profound inbreaking of God that would be an honor and a struggle and burden. She wasn't expecting, but amazing things happened. What would happen if in our lives we walked out of this sanctuary expecting that in our personal daily life, God would break in? Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go to the Michigan football game. Now, God did not break in the last half, but I had this really cool opportunity, sat by this young man, and he wasn't really cheering either side. He just kind of watching the game, and so I started talking to him, and he was visiting family. He was born in California, raised there, just visiting family, and decided he wanted to see a Big Ten football game. And let me just tell you, California, he was freezing. And so we talked a little bit. I had some spare, portable hand warmers, handed them over. And we talked about family and the love of family and following them and what a privilege it is to be able to travel and see family. And I was blessed. And my hope is he was blessed as well. I didn't expect to have that kind of wonderful conversation. But we have those opportunities all the time to be a blessing and to be blessed by the world that is around us. And God just keeps throwing them at us. Maybe we have to take the attitude of the children. Now, I know these are idealistic kind of Christmas pictures, but if we could have that expectation. I have a niece, her name is Carly, she's 6 years old, and I don't know what it is, but she just gets all excited when Aunt Sherry and Uncle George are coming. I mean, we don't even bring stuff with us. We just play with her, And she is just beside herself when we're coming and greeting us. There's an expectation. The wonder that children have during this time, we might say, well, it's because they're ready for surprises. What if in our lives we walked out and said, I am a follower of Jesus Christ and I am ready to be surprised. I'm expecting to be surprised in my life. And then the last one I want to share is to say yes. Isn't this amazing what Mary does? She offers some objections, some questions. She's puzzled, she's cautious, she's wary. But when finally Gabriel says, Elizabeth, your cousin's already 6 months pregnant, and you figured she was barren, and he says, nothing is impossible for God. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. The angel was with her talking until what? She said yes. And a holy, amazing thing happened. What happens if in our hearts we're prepared not only to be surprised by God, but to say yes when it comes? Another place that we visited when we visited the Holy Land was the Church of the Annunciation. This is in Nazareth, and this church was built in the late 1970s, but it was built upon church upon church upon church, going again all the way back to the 4th century. And so the latest architect has built this amazing dome. He wanted it designed like an upside-down rose, an upside-down flower, so that the stem would be reaching up into the heavens, and the rose come to earth in Jesus Christ. In the upper level sanctuary, there are amazing murals and stained glass that show the birth of Christ and the Annunciation and the mother and the child together. And underneath this sanctuary, there is another sanctuary, and in it there's an altar outside, and then inside a small grotto right here is another cave. This one's a little more protected. We can't march down into it like we did at the Church of the Nativity, but this is the traditional spot where the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. Again, a holy place because of those who have honored it for so long. Why this huge, magnificent church? Why the millions of people who pass through? Why save this grotto? Because a young woman in a backwater town simply said yes, and it changed the world. What might change if we said yes to the moving of the Spirit in who we have conversation with and how we treat our family or the gifts and the communications that we make? How might this world be changed if we hear a call and say yes to generosity of service or time or resources beyond what we considered we would do? What might change in this world? Mary, was a part of a world-changing event that brought salvation to all people because God broke in, her heart was open, and she said yes. Trevor Hudson, the author of the book that we're studying, wrote this: God never forces the divine presence upon us. Instead, God waits for our freely given yes. We can go through this whole Advent season grumpy and saying, I just can't get the Christmas spirit because you're on my nerves. You know, you could do that. I can't have the Christmas spirit because my computer's slow and I need to buy stuff. I can't have the Christmas spirit because I have to walk way too far in the parking lot from what I used to on these non-holidays. I want the Christmas spirit, someone give it to me. In the inbreaking of God, the Holy Spirit is just waiting by the power of God to be in our lives, to work miracles, to work holy wonders, if we are willing to open our hearts and simply say yes. So how can we come awake? How can we be uniquely faithful people in a world of consumerism that is pushing in? In a world of activity that would suck all of our time, how can we claim our faith? Let's begin by being awake to the Holy Spirit, offering thanks to God even for the tiniest things this week. Choose something that you love and give thanks for it. Let's claim God's holy presence in the inbreaking of the Holy Spirit because it is possible. Let's expect it. And when God speaks through another, through our hearts, through our prayers, through scripture, through a message, let's say yes. And perhaps even have a hand, as Mary did, in shaping this world to welcome God's reign. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, Lord, open our hearts. Open our hearts in the midst of the activity. We know we can't say no to all the stuff, all the obligations, all the activity of Christmas. But somehow, Lord, as you've broken in the ordinary time in Mary's life, you can break into ours. We know it. And so we ask. We ask expectantly and with gratitude that you might come, come, Jesus, come, and give us the courage to say yes. Amen.